on the chair, that's true.
Yeah, I'm just double checking that one for one. Did you get one for me?
What page is that?
Four pages, yeah.
They're not mixed, but anything.
Oh, there's more, okay, yeah, yeah. It's also going to be up here as well, so the sheets are just for if you prefer or if you want to take them away with you. So we're looking at the book Sharanagati. The whole Sharanagati book is based on this verse, which is from the Puranas. So this verse is something that is studied and recited in all Vaishnava traditions, especially in South India, in the tradition of Ramanujacharya, they really focus on this these principles. So the verse outlines the six, as you can see here, the six divisions of surrender are the acceptance of those things favorable to devotional service, the rejection of unfavorable things, the conviction that Krishna will give protection, the acceptance of the Lord as one's guardian or master, full self-surrender and humility. So that's the way the verse goes, that's the order. Now interestingly, in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Sharanagati book, he changes around the order and he puts the principle of humility as the first thing on the steps. So it's interesting because looking at, basing on Lord Chaitanya's emphasis on Trinadipi Samuchayana, he's emphasizing that principle that without humility we can't properly chant even. So, oops. This was published in 1893. There's 50 songs in the book. We're just going to do, I think, probably 12 or something like that. So what I've done is there's six sections, each for the different principles. So I've taken two or three of the ones that are either very prominent or ones that are more well known or just ones that are more this, well, they're all more something, but the ones that I really think we'll all appreciate so that we can get a flavor of each of the sections. So this is our first one. The first bhajan that we're going to sing, it doesn't come in the six sections. It's more like the introduction prayer to Sharanagati. So before we sing every bhajan, we'll first read out the translation so that we can meditate on what we're singing. And on these things, I've tried to, this one is not as good, but I tried to put the words next to the, actually on the sheet it's maybe a little better, putting the words next to the verses so you can look at it. As we sing through the bhajans, we'll sing each verse or each line twice. So the first time you sing it, you might want to just sing the words, or vice versa, but you'll have one time that you can take a moment to glance over at the meaning as well, so it gives an opportunity to understand better too. So who would like to read out the first verse? One, two. Anyone? I got the voice.
Out of compassion for the fallen souls, Sri Krishna Chaitanya came to this world with his personal associates and divine abode to teach Sarangati, Sharanagati, to the Almighty Godhead.
Sharanagati.
Surrender to the Almighty Godhead, and to freely distribute ecstatic love of God, which is ordinarily very difficult to obtain. This Sharanagati is the very life of the true devotee.
The ways of Sharanagati are humility, dedication of the self, acceptance of the Lord as one's only maintainer, faith that Krishna will surely protect, execution of only those acts favorable to pure devotion, and renunciation of conduct adverse to pure devotion.
The youthful son of Nanda Maharaj,
Sri Krishna hears the prayers of anyone who takes refuge in him by this sixfold practice.
Anyone? Can we do the next one?
Bhaktivinoda places a straw between his teeth, prostrates himself before the two Goswamis, Sri Rupa and Sri Sadhana, and claps their lower feet with his hands. I am certainly the lowest of men, he tells them, leaving, but please make me the best of men by teaching me the ways of Sharanagati.
Do we have cartels? Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Jivedayaka Hari Swapashada Shikaya. And next we turn to Lulia Tamaya, who should be the next one. The title is usually the first, they're usually referred to by the first two words, the first three words. So you can just, you can write that at the top if you want. So they're coming in sections, so this is the introductory song. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize. Should realize because I did it. So now we start the first section, Danya, which is humility. I think there's the most sections, maybe, most songs in this section, maybe. So I had to choose which ones were. Yeah, but this first song is the first song of the Danya section, and for me personally, I always remember this song because I can relate to it so much. childhood. I hope you appreciate it too. This song is called Bhulia Tumare. Bhulia means forgetting you, Tumare. I forsook you, or I forgot you, O Lord, and came to this world of pain and sorrow. Now I submit my tale of woe at your lotus feet.
While still in the unbearable fetters of my mother's womb, I saw you before me, you revealed yourself but briefly, and then abandoned this poor servant of yours.
At that moment I sought to worship you after taking birth, but birth came, and within it the network of worldly illusion which robbed me from all good sense.
As a fondless son in the lap of relatives, I passed my time smiling and laughing. My parents' affection helped me to forget the pangs of birth, and I thought the world was very nice. Mm-hmm.
Day by day I grew, and soon began playing with other boys. Shortly my powers of understanding emerged. I read and studied my lessons incessantly. Traveling from place to place, proud of my education, I grew wealthy and maintained my family with undivided attention. O Lord Hari, I forgot you.
Now in old age, Bhaktivinoda is sad. He weeps. I failed to worship you, O Lord, and instead passed my life in vain. What will be my fate now?
Once I asked, Simuna Devi's companion for about 40 years was another very wonderful devotee, Dinatarine Devi. So they would always conduct these sessions together. Once I asked her, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur expresses these emotions like, I never worshipped you, I passed my life in vain, I said, is he just saying that for our benefit? Because surely, I mean, he obviously did worship, and she said, no, he's not just saying it for our benefit. He actually feels that sincerely. That's the mark of a very advanced devotee, that their humility is not like for someone else's benefit or to set an example. They really feel it. They feel the lowest of the low, but they're at the same time so blissful because of their connection with Krishna. It's hard to understand because we're not in that place, but...
Oh, yeah.
Is everybody okay so far?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Is there a certain point that you go back to the
refrain?
Yeah.
Refrain.
Is there, or is it just when it feels?
I don't know if there. I think there probably is a classical. I don't know if you know, but I know in when people sing traditionally in Bengal, there's often a. There's set places that they know that there's a refrain, and there's often a, there's things called an akar, which is a line which is diverges from the regular verses, but it's like an example of an akar that we all know is in Gaura Arti, Gaurangera Arutik Shobha Jaga Janamana Loba, or Shanka Bhaje, Ganta Bhaje, Madhu, Madhu, Madhu Bhaje, that diverges from the song, and we sing that for a while and then we go back. So that they have things like that. Personally, what I was just doing there, I just do it where it feels right myself, but and you don't have to do that. But it's nice to, I think it's nice to, because it goes back to the point of the song, helps you to remember. Okay. Yeah.
So in many songs we see that Bhaktivinoda Kaur like now in old age.
Yeah.
So is most of his songs when he was
We can chart exactly. I think Sharanagati and Gitavali were written in the same year, and that was 1893, and he was born in 1838. So who's good at math? Not me. If you can work it out. 1340. He was 6 years in the 60s or 70s, right? Yeah. He wrote many songs and thing and poems throughout his life, even from a young child, as we're reading. But most of these ones were written in his older age. So it's interesting because he's reflecting on his life, but I also find it interesting as we're reading about his childhood, and even this song particularly is about that perspective from childhood, you know. Yeah.
I wondered if the melodies are set, or can you sing on any melody?
Yeah, you can sing different melodies. Bhaktivinoda Thakur often took popular songs of the day, so like pop music basically,
yeah.
Whatever people were singing, and he would set the songs to that music so that they would be very easy for people to catch on to. You know, if there's like whatever's the number one hit, you could
like that.
Yeah, exactly. Right, because it's attractive to the ear. So the idea is that whatever, you know, they're kind of like political parties used to do similar things, like propaganda songs. They want to be catchy and easy to spread because the message is important for people to hear. So yeah, he used to do that. So there are melodies that are very traditional classical Bengali. Some of them are still we sing. Some of them are, because we're not musically as used to that musical sound and culture, are quite difficult to follow the nuances of them. But you can sing different tunes for these. You'll notice that there's different meters, like, you know, the number of words in a verse. It varies from the different songs, but many of the songs will have the same meter. So you could sing the same tune for this one, or for that one, or for that one. You can kind of just see what fits.
And do you need to split them in a certain way, just the two lines of the verse?
I've never heard that you need to. The main thing is usually to split it in a way that makes sense, that you're not cutting into the middle of a sentence or something. So usually they do go in sets of two lines.
Okay.
Of course, you can hear the rhyme is as in rhyming poetry, you know. Like sometimes people split, if they're singing something and they don't understand the words, they may split in the middle of a word or in the middle of a sentence, and then if someone hears that understands it, they're like, what are you doing? You know? It just doesn't make sense. But usually you can feel be safe to do two lines like that.
What does the apostrophe mean? I saw it in the first one as well.
Apostrophe?
Yes, so in the first one we say it's at the end of both of the first two lines.
And in the sixth verse.
Is that an apostrophe or an accent? It's probably an accent, but it looks like an apostrophe to me.
At the end of the line?
Yeah.
It's just an apostrophe, actually, to show you that it's they're coming. Bulia tomare. Some say that's just the way the person's notated it down. It's just to make a pause, you know. It's just as in English, an apostrophe. You're talking about this, right?
Yeah, right at the end.
Yeah, it's actually just an apostrophe.
Yeah.
Because the way they were typed out, I guess they're just showing that there's a break, little break there. Mm. Anything else? I was going to say also that the way of writing down Bengali in Roman alphabet is not standardized, so you'll come across different ways of writing things that are pronounced in a certain way. So for instance, B and V are not different, it's like in between. So sometimes you'll see it says, usually more towards the side of B in Bengali for something that's V. So if he says, or as an example, he says in here it might say Vishvas, which is like strong faith or determination. Vishvas is the word, but in Bengali it's Bishwas. So in the text it may say Vishvas or Bishwas. Or a lot of the A sound in Bengali is pronounced as O. So some words in the Sanskrit, they may have originally been like mana is pronounced more like O. But everything is like, once someone told me, if you're speaking Bengali, imagine you have a little ball in your mouth and everything goes O. Anyway, we don't have to pronounce perfect Bengali. The point is the prayer, but just for you to know.
So if it's a V, it's that. If it's written as a B, it is the B sound. Or is it both?
Let me get back to you with a better way of explaining it as a rule, because I don't want to say something that's misleading, because it's not always. You don't have to worry about it, but it's just for you to know that if you come across different spellings or different around certain types of sounds, that's why. So. Yeah, so if you say, like, here in the next song, on the third verse, it says, Vishaye Mohita. Mm-hmm. You could say, Vishaye.
Yeah.
Or you can say, Vishaye. It's if a Bengali person is there, they
sure.
might say, oh, you should be saying, Vishaye. Mm-hmm.
But in the sixth verse, when it starts,
Bardakye.
That is with a B.
I think that's also V.
Bardakye. Okay.
Yeah. So it's, as I'm saying, like it's not consistent always the way it's notated down. And in the same way, sometimes, like a lot of things which are S in Bengali are pronounced Sh, like quite consistently. So, that's just.
But we know that from the accent, right?
Yeah, but sometimes, occasionally, because songs are not always transliterated really, like, properly, so sometimes it won't be there. So what I'm saying is, as you get familiar with singing them, the more you listen, and you'll get familiar with the pronunciations as well.
Is it an offense to mispronounce it?
No. Good question. Good question. Thank goodness, no, because we'd all be in trouble. We should just cancel the course right now and go chant Japa. Maybe we'll sing one more and then we'll have a break. Today is our most number of songs because the humility section is the most full. So it's a little bit. Also, these songs, they can be in some way a little heavy going at the beginning, the first ones, because the mood is so sober and grave, and sometimes we can't even relate with that level of humility. It can feel. I remember when I first sang them, I was thinking, I should be appreciating or enjoying this, but I just feel kind of like, when am I ever going to feel like this? And I can't relate. But something very wonderful happens as you progress through, because it's a process. These stages are, you know, like this for a reason. So we'll sing the next one, Amar Jivana. This song is very, very, very interesting song. It's very extreme when you often think when you first read it. We'll read through the translation, but it's like, wow, like, really, how could anyone honestly feel that way about themselves? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was obviously the child of, the son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in the Gaudiya Math, he used to get the devotees to read or sing this song before japa period, because he was saying that this is the mood, this is the understanding of yourself you should have when you're chanting, which is quite powerful. One other thing I was going to say is that the translations are also, the translations are vary in their in how good they are. So the translations we have here are okay, but sometimes you'll have another book which has more, little bit more poetic or elegant translation. So you have to kind of bear with it. Okay, let's go around this way this time. I'm an impious sinner, and I have caused others. Let's see which, if you see which ones you can recognize yourself. I'm an impious sinner, and I have caused others great anxiety and trouble.
Done.
I shall never hesitate to perform sinful act for my own enjoyment. The words of all compassion concern only with my own selfish interests, and remorseful think others happy, and perpetual liar, and the misery of others is a source of great pleasure for me.
The material desires within the core of my heart are unlimited. I am dreadfully devoted to false pride and arrogance, intoxicated by vanity and bewildered by worldly affairs. Envy and egotism are the ornaments I wear.
Ruined by laziness and sleep, I resist all pious deeds, yet I am very active and enthusiastic to perform wicked acts. For worldly fame and reputation I engage in the practice of deceitfulness. Thus I am destroyed by my own greed, and I am always lustful.
A vile, wicked man such as this, rejected by godly people, is a constant offender. I am such a person, devoid of all good works, forever inclined towards evil, worn out and wasted by various miseries.
Now in old age, deprived of all means of success, humbled and poor, Bhaktivinoda submits his tale of grief at the feet of the Supreme Lord.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, we'll take a quick break to 10 past 1, and we'll just sing one more today when we come back, which in which we'll see that the mood starts to lift. It wouldn't have happened this fast if we'd been going through every song. I think there's about 7 songs or 8 songs before it starts to come up, but you feel as he starts to transition to the next section, which is complete surrender of itself.